Okay, how many credit cards are in your wallet? The only card you need is the UK Federal Credit Union Visa Platinum Card, which offers rates as low as 7.24% APR. When unexpected expenses arise, you need a credit card with options, like the UK Federal Credit Union Visa Platinum Card with no annual fee and no balance transfer fee. Annual percentage rates apply, member qualifications apply, but the rate is variable and it applies to Visa or Platinum Card, subject to credit approval and subject to change. For full disclosures, visit ukfcu.org, federally insured by NCUA.
Is a paid program. This is the 630 WLAP on News Radio 630 WLAP and WLAP.com.
Welcome to the camp. I guess you all know why we're here. My name is Tommy, and I became aware this year. If you want to follow me, you've got to play pinball. Your earplugs, put on your eye shades, you know where to put the cork.
We're moving, 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 though they're disapproving. Keep them doggies moving, rawhide. Don't try to understand them, just rope and throw and brand them. Soon we'll be living high and wide. My heart's calculating, my true love will be waiting at the end of my ride. Move 'em on, hit 'em up, move 'em on, hit 'em up, rawhide. Let 'em out, ride 'em in, let 'em out, cut 'em out, ride 'em in.
Welcome to the Tom Dupree Show. We are rolling, 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 and back in Lexington, Kentucky. With us, Adarsh Mashrew, Philip Sexton, Mike Johnson, and our host, Tom Dupree.
You know, this show was on TV. It was, of course, black and white.
You're talking about the Rawhide, not the Rawhide. Tom Dupree Show.
This is in black and white also. Rawhide was on TV from 1959 through 1965. And who was a star on there that later became a huge movie guy that involved Westerns?
We get this turn around. Clint Eastwood.
Yes, sir. And so anyway, you know, it was always about a cattle drive, similar to Lonesome Dove, which was about a cattle drive also. But anyhow, this was, I think, in some ways the most iconic thing to come out of this show was the song that we just played. But I thought that it bears some similarity to the way the market is at times. You know, roll, keep them going.
Don't ask no questions.
Yeah. Push it along, and soon we'll be living high and wide. You know, it's gonna, our ship's gonna come in. So, that's just my observation. SPAC sell-off bruises individual investors. So what we're getting to see now is the difference between real securities and non-securities that have behaved like real securities for a while. So in the real securities category would be real companies like Apple or Ford Motor or somebody like that. And in the non-securities would be SPACs. And some of those companies around, one of which may be right here in Fayette County, called AppHarvest, which it remains to be seen if it is really a company or not. They have a big warehouse, but I don't know what they don't seem to want to call you back when you call their investor relations department. And that's a little worrisome, especially if you're a new company and trying to establish a following in the street. So, anyway, it's just my observation. It's not clad in stone. Maybe they will turn into a real company. I don't know that they are one yet. But you know, when the water goes out, you see who's swimming naked, they say. SPAC sell-off bruises individual investors. So this is pretty obvious that people dive into things that they have no knowledge of what it is. And a lot of times, you know, I still know a guy that for the last X amount of years, he keeps telling me how these Iraqi dinars that he has are going to explode in value. I mean, he's just been, it's, and that's a stopped watch that's never been right. But he's, people get, they get so mentally invested in something being right that the longer it goes, the more they believe it, despite its lack of believability. And this is the same thing with these SPACs and that kind of thing. So you will see stuff where people are going to lose a lot of money. Sadly, they do it to themselves.
Right. And you know what's mind-boggling about these SPACs? And SPAC stands for Special Purpose Acquisition Company. They're also known as blank check companies. Which
yeah, that's lovely.
Right. So
think about that.
The person buying into it in the initial stages does not even know what they're buying into. So it's driven by star power. So lately we even saw celebrities who had nothing to do with investing start their own SPACs. But once the celebrity or whoever, it could be a money manager. There have also been, you know, famous money managers like Bill Ackman who started SPACs. But once they announce that they're starting this blank check company, they raise money, and then they have up to 2 years in which they have to acquire another company. But the mania was so much that it didn't matter. As long as a company was a SPAC, people poured in money without knowing where the money was going. And of course, you know, a lot of these SPAC managers or sponsors, you know, did pretty well because their fees were pretty tight. This is a mania, you know. And what we saw since then, since basically February of this year, a lot of these SPACs are down by 70%, 80%. So it's kind of sad when you think about it. But at the same time, because investors lost money, but at the same time, if you are putting your money into something without knowing where your money is going, then, you know, I don't know who to feel bad for.
That is the utmost level of speculation. Like you said, Darsh, it's literally just throwing your money into a hat, hoping that, you know, they're going to buy the right thing. It reminds me of, I mean, we've all seen them, like, you know, the high school baseball team's raffle or something like that, you know, where they'll be selling $5 raffle tickets and there might be like five different prizes that get drawn for. And this is where I think a lot of volatility could be seen in some of these SPACs, is that what happens is you buy your ticket thinking, well, this SPAC's going to be the one to get the Airbnb IPO, or this SPAC's going to be the one to get the Upstart IPO or something like that. So you or AppHarvest. So you keep throwing your money.
Oh, wow.
And then, well, just bear with me. And what happens is eventually when one SPAC comes in and gets the one that you want, well, now you immediately deem your ticket as worthless. Even though there are other things out there that could be acquired, you immediately have deemed your ticket as worthless. And that's what, sadly, you know, has caused a ton of volatility in a lot of these things on the upside and the downside.
Right. And this is reminiscent of the late 90s when we saw, you know, companies that had .com to their names and they immediately went up. Now, some of them, some of these companies that went public through SPACs are real companies and they'll probably survive. But at this point, they're all tied, you know, into the same bucket, and they're all dropping. Just like, you know, in the late 90s, you know, Amazon was a company that dropped 80% after the bubble burst, but it eventually came back. But it'll take a long time for some of these to, even the ones that are genuine, it'll probably take some time because just the valuations at which they were going public were mind-boggling. Some of them, you know, at 25, 30 times sales. So they really have to grow, you know, extremely fast to justify something like that.
If you look at the parallel between the SPAC boom and burst versus, you know, cryptocurrencies, the underlying problem is the same. How do you value whichever one it is? You know, if I'll use a real world example, I had somebody that texted me the other day, was asking if we dealt with cryptocurrencies here at the office because they look cheap, quote unquote, they look cheap now because it had gone from 60,000 to 40,000. And
a client said that?
No, this is a friend. And texted him back and said, you know, no, we don't. And said, it's too speculative. And the response was, yeah, I know it is, but it looks cheap to me now. And so that's what I was wanting to buy some. And the problem with this is a lot of the people that are buying, and not saying everybody, I mean, some people, you know, it's still speculation, but they know it's speculation. Some people that are buying this, they're looking for that quick buck. You know, a lot of the people, they're looking to make that, you know, that big win quickly overnight. And that's the problem. I mean, that is not investing. That's speculating. That's buying a lottery ticket, hoping it hits, knowing that there's a good chance you're going to lose everything. It's why we've been talking about SPACs and cryptos, you know, for the last several weeks, because everybody's talking about it, and we're trying to be a voice of reason out there, if you will, that, look, here's the difference between investing and speculating. These things are speculations. And because with, let's use Bitcoin, went from 60,000 to, you know, slightly under 40,000 today. Is it cheap? Anybody? Nope. Nobody knows? Nobody knows if it's cheap.
It's cheaper than it was yesterday.
Kathy Wood thinks it's cheap because it's going to 500,000.
Well, yeah, some people think it's going to a million. So, but how do you value those kinds of things? And, you know, for somebody that's an investor, you know, Tom was talking about real companies. There's something you can value there. You know, you look at your house. You can value what your house is. Now, the market value is one thing, but what would it cost to reproduce your house? There's something tangible there. There is something tangible about a real company that has earnings. With these things, who knows? What is the real value?
Well, I think to that point, too, and when you look at the natural psychology of an American person especially, but just a person in general, is, and it's an everyday life, it's, all right, I've got to go from point A to point B. What is the fastest possible route to get there?
Right.
You know, and it's the same principle. You look at, like, from a gambler's perspective, you know, they're looking at, okay, I want to make this much money, like this much return. What is the fastest route possible? Okay, if I go in a casino and I play a thing of roulette, this thing's done spinning in 10 seconds. You know, same principle, bet on a horse race. This horse race is over in a minute and a half versus, okay, let's take.
Hey, are you looking to buy a new car? Are you stuck in a high-rate loan and looking to refinance? Well, UK Federal Credit Union can help. Right now, UK Federal Credit Union has auto loan rates as low as 2.99% APR. Apply for an auto loan online at ukfcu.org or in person at the dealership. Get your dream car today at UK Federal Credit Union. UK Federal Credit Union. It's banking, only better. Annual percentage rate, member qualification supply, rated subject to credit approval and subject to change. For full disclosure, visit ukfcu.org, federally insured by NCUA.
Let's take 5 hours of my day and really just dig into a company that I like to see if it's a valid investment or anything for that matter. And, okay, let's let my money invest into this. Let's give it time. Let's have patience, you know. So it's almost, it's against the grain from a psychological perspective.
It is. And it's, I mean, it's just, it's patience. You know, investing is just being patient and diligent. You just continue to save, put that money into an actual investment, and you do that regularly, consistently over time, and you let it compound. And once it starts compounding, then you start to see, you know, once it builds, then you start seeing that momentum build, and it builds faster and faster. But it takes time to get that momentum going, and it takes diligence. It takes self-discipline to be able to do it. That's why, you know, we have so much respect for our clients. You know, you look at what people have been able to save and build over the years, that you know what effort went into that. And, you know, that's, you know, why we're always accountable to our clients, you know, because, I mean, we recognize the time and sacrifice that went into building what they have.
So the next article is this thing about, it says Trump allies promote portfolios targeting unwoke investors. Small group of conservative money managers is trying to catch up to investment funds that for years have catered to those concerned about climate change, diversity, or animal rights. The nascent effort, which has attracted some prominent names, seeks to woo investors disgruntled by increased involvement by some companies in political and social issues. So I think you run into problems whenever you apply criteria to the selection of companies other than financial criteria.
Absolutely.
Right.
And people, they don't believe in the market's ability to differentiate between behaviors in one company to the next. So they decide to superimpose these investing categories on top of it to somehow purify the market. And so what they're doing is putting a market of their own on top of it. This is a market of ideas, many of which bear little resemblance to financial ideas. They are more social criteria, many cases arbitrarily chosen, which company makes it and which doesn't, about certain industries and management styles that should or should not be invested in. It's similar to the packaging that surrounded mutual funds and unit trusts and, you know, growth, or we're going to be long short. Now the new marketing thing, and it's just all it is a marketing twist, is ESG. So now you got these guys wanting to do, I don't know, conservative portfolios. Well, to me, that would be ultimate value, because you're going to buy companies that are not being driven up in price by the ESG portfolios, if such a thing is available. Which, when we really get right down to it, probably these guys will own some of the same companies the ESG companies will.
Right.
And then you just say, well, is this a conservative company or is it a woke company? You know, we don't really know. I mean, and they are applying this to all kinds of things. You know, I'm waiting for there to be a woke hamburger or a woke, we already know there's woke toilet paper. You can get the, you know.
That would actually be a really cool franchise name, though. Woke Burger.
Yeah.
I mean, there is already a woke burger. Beyond Meat.
Beyond Meat.
Oh, yeah, you got that. So there are numerous, there's woke cars, Tesla. Although the guy who makes Teslas tries not to be that woke himself. He's you know, a little bit of an iconoclast, if you will. But, you know, I guess it's going to apply to everything.
Right. And like you said, you know, ultimately, you know, it's marketing. Because, you know, when something, you know, whether it be ESG or whatever, it becomes attractive, people put their money in there, you know, that cannot be the only criteria to make investments. You have to look at the financials, you have to look at valuations. And
you look through the Wall Street Journal these days, you hardly ever read anything about valuations. It's something about politics,
right,
or some sort of thing that's going on where somebody's being canceled or what. You know, who is really doing securities analysis out there?
Right.
I'd say it's dropped off a lot since the pandemic.
That's true.
Because right, all you got to do is look at all this crazy behavior that people have engaged in.
Right. I mean, when you look at like Wall Street Bets, there are people on there who strangely do some security analysis. Like the guy who initially invested in GameStop, he had like a whole research paper that he'd put out. I mean, when you look at the mainstream media, you definitely don't see it. So maybe there are pockets on the internet where there are some people still paying attention to it. But as you said,
there's that, you know, the podcast, the Investors Podcast.
Right.
That's a pretty good.
Right.
And their value.
Right.
So value equals security analysis. Growth or momentum equals charts, you know, or something like that. I mean, it's anybody that would have invested in these SPACs, they're not doing any security analysis. So,
and you know, finally, here in the last 6 months, the stocks that have done extremely well are the non-ESG stocks.
Right.
Coal, crude oil, stocks which were neglected for a long time, and you know, money went into tech and all these other stocks. So, you know, I guess there were people out there who recognized that, and now we saw this big rally in the non-ESG stocks.
All right, so I'll start my rolling music again. You know what retro woke burger would be? Anybody? Anybody?
A retro work?
Yeah, like old school.
I don't know.
Old school work. It would have bacon and egg on it. You get it? You get it? You get it?
Breakfast burger.
Yeah, woke. Okay, so we're definitely going to a break. You are listening to the Tom Dupree Show with the Darsh Mestru, Philip Sexton, Mike Johnson, and Tom Dupree, powered by Dupree Financial Group. We will be back in just a few minutes with more of the show after the break. Stay tuned. Oh, the streams are swollen. Keep them doggies rolling, roll high. Through rain, wind, and weather, hell bent for leather, wishing my gal was by my side. All the things I'm missing, those fiddles, love, and kissing, are waiting at the end of my ride. Move 'em on, head 'em up, head 'em up, move.
This is what's happening.
Israel has agreed to a mutual, unconditional ceasefire.
Build lasting stability.
And sustainable peace.
Come back throughout the day.
We can't even pass a bill with Republican support.
This.
Vax and scratch.
Vax a million sweepstakes.
Is News Radio 630 WLAP.
Hi, this is Tom Dupree. What actually makes a difference in life? Is it Bitcoin? Is it gold? Perhaps it's bonds. Racehorses? No. Of any economic entity in which you can invest, the ones which actually make a difference are corporations. They are maligned, taxed, demonized, run by left-wing ideologues, but still, they must produce a profit. They cannot afford to invest in things the way that government does. Their investments must show a profit. Their investments must be productive. We believe our clients like to think their investments are being productive, both for society and for them. For a free review of your retirement investment portfolio, call Dupree Financial Group at 859-233-0400 and be sure to listen to the Tom Dupree Show Saturdays at 7 a.m. at News Radio 630 WLAP and WLAP.com.
Don't miss our 2021 iHeartRadio Music Awards.
iHeartRadio Music Awards!
Coming to Fox and our iHeartRadio app Thursday, May 27th at 8, 7 Central. Live from the Dolby Theater in Los Angeles.
And the iHeartRadio Music Award goes to...
The Chalupa Cravings Box is an abundant collection of Taco Bell favorites like the Chalupa, a beefy five-layer burrito, plus chips and nacho cheese sauce, and a medium drink. Watch your wildest cravings come true. At participating U.S. locations for a limited time only, drinks exclude freeze.
Now serving F27 at DMV window number 16.
Okay, Rose, we're second in line. Perfect, Rose. You remembered the birth certificate? Yes, and we have our electric bill. Excellent. We'll be Real ID ready in no time. Real ID ready to visit our grandson, Ricky, at Fort Bragg, then fly to New Orleans for Jazz Fest.
Pardon me, are you talking to yourself?
Oh, I'm sorry. I guess I am.
Talk yourself into Real ID readiness by May 3rd, 2023. Make a plan at dhs.gov/realid.
Bandana? Check. Boots? Check. Gloves? Check. As a motorcycle rider, you may go to great lengths to protect your image. Just be sure you're protecting yourself. Wear a Department of Transportation approved helmet. Perform safety checks on your motorcycle. Know the traffic laws and don't take risks. When motorists and motorcyclists work together, we can save lives. Ride safe, Kentucky.
A message from the Kentucky Office of Highway Safety.
It is a summertime feel, and it rolls on into the weekend. A mix of sun and clouds on your Saturday. Afternoon high temperatures mainly into the middle 80s. From the WKYT First Alert Weather Center, I'm meteorologist Chris Bailey.
Broadcasting live 24-7 from the heart of Big Blue Nation, this is News Radio 630 WLAP, an iHeartRadio station.
Teachers, you know more than anyone. It's been a crazy year. That's why when people ask me how I decided to get vaccinated, I tell them I relied on scientific information from credible resources. I know we've all heard the rumors, but we can help teach others to think critically and use credible sources to answer questions. Protect yourself against COVID-19 and sleeve up. Learn more at cdc.gov. That's cdc.gov.
They say, if you love something, to set it free. If it doesn't come back, it was never yours to begin with. Here at LifeLock, we have to say,
what a load of bull hockey! All those nights working overtime, saving up all that money, paying off all that debt, and now some identity thief wants to try and set it free? That's crazy talk.
The pandemic has changed so much about what we can expect from healthcare. Now more than ever, we must make the future affordable, accessible, and equitable. I'm Jody Lesh. In a new podcast from Kaiser Permanente, we interview the thought leaders and care providers who are helping shape the future of not just healthcare, but fields like digital therapeutics and AI. We have a lot to learn from one another. Listen to Ahead in Health wherever you get your podcasts.
If your loved one is at risk of a fall, the Symphony Medical Alert System from CVS Health can help support their safety in their home with 24/7 emergency monitoring, even when you can't be there. Terms and conditions apply. Learn more about Symphony at cvs.com/symphony or find it at your nearest CVS Health Hub.
Good thing LifeLock helps monitor your info and alerts you to potential identity threats. And if you do become a victim, a dedicated U.S.-based specialist will be there to help fix it. No one can prevent all identity theft or monitor all transactions at all businesses, but when identity thieves try to take what's yours, you don't have to take it lying down. And while we're not setting it free, you can save up to 25% off your first year at LifeLock.com with promo code NEWS. That's promo code NEWS for 25% off at LifeLock.com.
630 WLAP.
This is Roy Clark and Buck Trent from the show Hee Haw in the 70s. And I just want you to hear this. It's really good.
Thank you.
There you go.
Welcome back to the Tom Dupree Show. Joining us, Adarsh Mestru, Philip Sexton, Mike Johnson, and our host, Tom Dupree. And I'm guessing that there were lots of funny facial expressions, maybe. Something else going on that we can't see that caused the audience to laugh, maybe.
Yeah, there were.
Yeah, okay.
Actually, there were quite a few. Okay. All right. So, Trump allies promote portfolios targeting on what we already did that one. So I'm just interested. How does applying social and political criteria actually harm the investment process? What do you guys think about that? Not only does it mess with it, it actually harms it.
I think one part, from not from a valuation standpoint, which it does, but one part that I think it harms the integrity. Investing should be about returns, meeting goals. We use the same thing with an ESG, but let's say you invest in one of these, targeting unwoke investors because it meets your political views. If the value of your investment goes down, but you're invested in it because of your political views, that gives them, the advisor, the money manager, more cover. Because you say, well, you know, maybe my returns aren't good, but I'm investing in this because it aligns with my political beliefs. So the accountability structure gets chopped, because I'm not going to be mad at you if I'm not making the returns I should be, if I'm invested in a way that aligns with my politics. That's essentially what it gives the money manager cover. It gives them an excuse to say, here's why it's not doing as well as you could be or should be doing. So I think that's one part that it hurts. It hurts accountability from the person that puts them in that, or the manager that's managing that fund. They're not going to be as diligent on what they're investing and being accountable to their clients because they've got cover.
It's okay to have, views or values, but then it's not okay to bring emotions into the investing process on an ongoing basis.
Yeah.
We saw something similar with GameStop. The whole reason why the stock kept being bid up was because people thought they were fighting the hedge funds, small investors that,
So it was the little guy versus the big guy thing, and yet some of the hedge funds were long themselves.
Right.
Yeah. So it was like that didn't, but it's a very convenient sort of scenario, right. A way to describe things that makes people feel good about themselves.
Yeah. Exactly, yes. And even that person who bought the stock at 450 really thought that he was fighting the hedge funds, and, he was... there were even people there who said that I'm going to go broke fighting the hedge funds, which, why would you do that? It doesn't make sense, because you're hurting yourself at the end of the day.
That's right.
I think you end up holding companies hostage too, to some extent. The bigger that movement grows from an ESG or a woke perspective, if more and more money goes into that, then you have these companies that are trying to find ways to prove you're woke. But the problem is it continues to wake up more and more and more, and you cannot ever catch that line that they keep moving. And what ends up inevitably happening from that perspective is you start to put pressure on profits and things like that. But to Mike's point too, I think that there could even be a potential flip side where this style of investing changes political opinions over time, where if you're an ESG investor and you lose a bunch of money or continually underperform significantly, you know, eventually you say, well, that greed kicks in. You say, well, what am I doing? I'm fighting a stupid battle, really, when you start to boil it down.
Well, the way I look at it, it's like, so I was up in Indianapolis, and it's kind of woke, you know. What isn't? I mean, and everybody has bought that side of the equation so much to the point that all the sellers are sold out. I mean, you know, in order for a movement or an idea thing to do well, or even a stock, it's like the surface tension on the water. A bug can light on it and not sink because they're on that surface tension. That's the thing. That's like the 200-day moving average, if you will. You know, the surface of a lake is like the 200-day moving average. You're going to really like that analogy, and I expect you'll use that numerous times over the next 30 years. But it's just one of those things I come up with every now and then.
You can touch it, but if you break through it, it's
break
ugly.
Through it. And the problem is they're getting ready to break through because there's not enough people opposing the woke viewpoint. The only way for it to work is for there to be opposition to it, in a sense. And it's going to get weighty of itself to the point where it's adapted by too many people to where, you know, there's no opposing thought. And you can't ultimately have that forever in any society. I don't care how oppressed it becomes. There's always going to be an opposition.
Well, that's exactly what I was trying to say, is you're always trying to chase that line. So eventually there's going to be nobody to oppose that original line of woke thinking. But then there's going to be another demographic in that same thought process that thinks, well, you're not woke enough to be woke.
Oh, well, they're doing that.
And then it just continues to grow and grow and grow.
Well, I'm going to tell you another time in history when that happened was during the revivals, religious revivals of the up east. You'd have Harvard come along, and then the other people would say, well, they're not woke enough to the gospel, if you will. They're soft. We got to go start another one, and that's Yale. Comes along after Harvard. And then the people after 30 years or 40, Yale's not woke enough in that sense. We got to go start Princeton. So what happens is you get this hair splitting that goes on, and it's happened in American society. It's happened, you know, it's a puritanical sort of bent, if you will. You have it in Islam, you know, the Wahhabis versus so-and-so. You know, they're not, you know, why, if Iran is Islamic and all the other countries in the Middle East are, including Saudi Arabia, why do they hate Iran so much? What's a different form of Islam? Is that not correct, Adar?
Yes, it's Shiite versus Sunni, yes.
Yeah.
It is a different, I guess.
And you have Wahhabism in...
That's Sunni. That's okay. Mostly Saudi Arabia.
Yeah. But they're extreme, evidently.
Yes.
Okay. But still, these people are fighting each other. They don't like each other. They're the same religion. You get within the left the same thing. You know, whenever somebody achieves dominance, it's a problem, including Christianity, by the way, because, you know, during Constantine, took over, capitulated to Christianity, then it became the state religion. It was like the thing.
Yeah.
It was better when it had a little bit of opposition, you know.
Or even like the Crusades, things like that.
Well, the Crusades were a kind of a different thing altogether, and that would require a history lesson, which I'm not really ready to give to you at this point.
Well, why not? We got.
What did Jesus say? There are many things I have to tell you, but this is not one of them.
Oh gosh.
The other thing that this movement, if you will, does. So this is the counter to the ESG. You know, you're targeting the other political side.
The nappers.
So let's look at some of the companies that they've excluded from the portfolio or boycotted. You know, Facebook, Apple, Alphabet.
They're not in this.
Delta, Coca-Cola, because of the Georgia voting rights thing. So some of the what it does, it investing should never be an emotional decision, and quite honestly, it shouldn't be an easy decision. This caters to the emotional side and trying to make it an emotional decision. So you say if you're investing in one of these ETFs that go along this political spectrum, you say, I don't like Coke because of the stance they're taking on the Georgia voting law. I don't like them. And so, boom, the ETF, if it agrees with that, it sells it. You then don't care if Coke goes up or down.
You're agnostic to the stock performance.
Yeah.
Your only criteria is the social score.
The social score, and this caters 100% to the emotion of it. Because emotionally, I don't like what Coke or Delta or some of these others do, or I don't like what Twitter's doing because it, you know, silences whoever.
Oh, that's Twitter has got to be woke. I mean, look at Jack Dorsey. Dang on. I mean, that son of a
But
he's as woke as they get, bro.
But the whole thing caters to emotion, and that should be a red flag for any investor that's listening. As you said, Adarsh, you can have your views on things and moral stances that you have, like I will not invest in such and such company. You know, maybe it's a tobacco company or an alcohol company, whatever it may be, and that's fine. But when you give the decision making over to a company, a fund that's supposed to be making these decisions, you're totally giving away those beliefs to this, which is just kind of across the board. Hey, if it's so, this political view or not.
So without giving any names, we've actually had ESG applied to us against us.
Yeah.
We've had, I think two accounts over the last several years. One of them was 7 or 8 years ago, and one of them was fairly recently, because I dared to advance a political opinion in our newsletter, and I think they both pretty much used similar language. They said, I can't in good conscience have my money with somebody who believes like Tom does. And I tried to declare to them, you know, this is cancel culture and that sort of thing. Didn't change a thing, but that was a criteria that was being applied that had nothing to do with performance. It had everything to do with sort of saying the right thing.
Right.
And just basically not saying something that the guy didn't want to hear.
Right. Exactly. And this is something we've said on the show with our clients. You know, we don't invest. I mean, clearly we all have our views on, you know, political issues, whatnot. We don't invest based on those ideas. We had, you know, a lot of people that were worried before the election last year because of the political events. And we're saying, look, here are the valuations. And we kept the portfolio, if you want to say, in the middle of the road. And our clients are darn glad that we did. And so we don't invest based on those beliefs. And we talk about them. We talk about them on the radio. We talk about them when we're discussing the portfolio. How could this political event impact the business of this sector or this company? So we discuss it, but it's with real world impact. What could this do? It's not just based on an emotion of, I don't like this, so we're getting out. You know, it's not, investing's not that simple. I mean, we all wish it was. You know, we wish it was as easy as, I don't like what Coke said about Georgia, so I'm going to, you know, it's a bad investment. It doesn't work that way. Yeah. Unfortunately.
Very much so. I mean, to that point too, though, you do, from a short-term perspective, you have to take that into consideration. If there's enough people that say something like that, yeah, you could potentially see volatility in that stock. But
are you a trader or an investor?
To your point though, that's where, back in the first half of the hour, patience and time, you know, because at the end of the day, if Coke is a good business and you have patience and give it time, profitability will increase and that crap will go away and cancel culture will move on to its next victim and you'll be able to, reap the benefits over time.
Right.
So that's where you have to, like you said, you have to define what you are. Are you an investor? Are you a trader? Are you a social justice warrior?
Yeah.
What exactly are you trying to do? You know, and that is the first question you must answer. And that's where you said, you know, making an investment decision should never be easy. It should be a difficult, hard, thought out decision.
Mm-hmm. Right. And that's a big part, you know, when we're talking with people, you know, clients or prospects, is getting to the root of essentially, why are you investing? You know, what are your goals? What are you really trying to accomplish? It's to have a clear line of where things are going and why they need to go there. You know, are you trying to have a legacy for family members? Are you trying to produce income? Are you just, you know, wanting as much growth as fast as you can? All these different things. I mean, all those are legitimate goals, but the investor, the person whose money it is, has to be able to see what their goals are, to know if you're even attaining those goals, you know?
Well, you don't go to the airport just to buy a random plane ticket, yeah, knowing where you're going.
Yeah.
You go because you've already bought the ticket, knowing exactly where you're going.
And that's where the communication is so vitally important.
Exactly.
Guys, that's a wrap for this week. If you like what you've heard on the Tom Dupree Show, you can always find more of the Tom Dupree Show on our website, which is dupreefinancial.com, under the blog and radio tab. You know, also, Mike, one of the things that you talked about, you actually wrote an article about in our upcoming newsletter, which will also be posted on the website probably in the next 10 days or so. So you can also find our newsletter. It will be the previous version to the one that's coming out now. We sure appreciate you listening. We're powered by Dupree Financial Group, coming to you from our studios on Main Street in Lexington. We'll look forward to talking to you next week. Make it a good one.
I can't listen to you live. I always go to the podcast.
Download our podcasts of your favorite shows and go enjoy the great outdoors. Details and downloads at WLAP.com.
If you're wondering what's going on in the markets these days, you're not alone. It seems the conventional metrics of discerning value in markets has been thrown out the window. Perhaps it may help to look at interest rates, which are lower than ever. They are lower than in my dad's time in the business, and in my granddad's time. interest rates can justify valuations in the stock market, and lower interest rates can support higher valuations. So maybe things aren't that crazy. We talk about stuff like this at Dupree Financial Group. For a no-obligation review of your retirement investment portfolio, call us at 859-233-0400 or go to DupreeFinancial.com. And be sure to listen to the Tom Dupree Show Saturdays from 7 to 9 a.m. at News Radio 630 WLAP and WLAP.com. That's Dupree Financial Group at 233-0400.
Every year, compliance regulations change thousands of times. And every year, ADP makes thousands of seamless platform updates so businesses can focus on everything else, like running their business. Grow stronger with ADP, HR, talent, time, and payroll.